The apostle is teaching us how to live the Christian life. The one sent by Jesus Christ is saying how we should now be different. Now that we are children of the light. Now that we are no longer darkness. But how should we live in the light? Just taken three verses this time here in Ephesians chapter 5. Verses 15, 16 and 17. Have 3 points, 3 things to bring from those 3 verses. What we can see first of all is the danger. There is a danger which we are to avoid. That is the danger of living without understanding. In verse 15 it says, not as unwise. In verse 16 it reminds us that the days we live in are evil days. In verse 17 it tells us, do not be foolish. Your people are living foolishly. People are living in unwise ways in these evil days. But we cannot live as other people live. Now you'll say, well, preacher, you're repeating yourself because you told us this last week and the week before. But Paul wants it to be something that as we wake each day, we say to ourselves, even if it's again and again, that we cannot live as other people live. That if someone says, well, I'm just as good as anyone else. Someone says, well, there's no real difference between me and my neighbour. Then Paul comes and says, well, that's not good enough. We are not to live just as other people live because they are in darkness. You know, if you put a stick or a log on the river here in town, then it'll soon just drift away. Actually, I don't know where this river goes, but rivers generally, they run out to sea. And they're just lost. Anything you put on the river, you won't see it again, it'll just be lost. People are just drifting in their lives. Just the river of life is taking them out to sea and they're lost. So we have to live with understanding. Why are we here in the world? And there's some verses which are very helpful to us, help us to understand Paul's teaching in these verses, right from the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. God blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the ground. That is the creation commandment or the creation mandate. God did not say, well, here's a world, enjoy yourself, do as you please. No, he said, I want to see fruitfulness. He said, increase and rule over the earth. Bring it under control. Bring order. God spent those 6 days to bring order to the heavens and the earth which he had created. And then he gave man the task to continue that work, to complete it. He gave us a world full of wonderful things, but not fully ordered. Now Adam, sadly, he sinned. And he brought in a great deal of chaos. And he brought in a great deal of trouble into the work. There are now thorns and thistles. Now that he was fallen, he'd find often the world working against him. The world often brings us trouble, doesn't it? We spend a long time building something, and then the wind and the thunderstorm comes and washes away our work. But that means we must be all the more serious. Means we must focus our minds. We must think even more clearly. We can't live as if we have nothing to do. God has given us bodies. God has given us feet and hands. God has given us souls. God has given us gifts to use. He's given us abilities to use. We have our own spiritual needs to pay careful attention to. God gave us a world full of wonders, full of wonderful things to develop and to use. But to get under control, God gave us minds and souls with many things in them, but to be developed. That's why we send our children to school, isn't it? Because we know the potential that's in them. We know that they can learn. We know that they can grow. And so we want the teachers day by day to help them. But that's just one small part of life. And it mustn't end when we leave school. We must all the time be seeking to develop the opportunities God has given us. Now, I come from what's called the West. But many people there just live for pleasure. They just live for entertainment. They live just to enjoy themselves. And that culture will come over here. You know, as the country develops and as people have the opportunity. What they're seeing on their televisions and coming over from the Western world is just this message, well, just enjoy yourself. But the Bible tells us that we're made for much, much more than that. Verse 16 reminds us, these are evil days. Who is going to fight against the evil? Who's going to counteract it? Who's going to overcome it? Who is going to bring order? Who is going to be the salt in the society to preserve it? Who is going to be the light shining from a hilltop so that people can see the way? It's got to be us, Christians, who have God's word opened up to us. We're the ones who understand the spiritual battle. We are the ones who have the Lord with us to fight against Satan and his influence in the world. So we must live with understanding. There are lost people who need saving. There are suffering orphans and widows and other families who need visiting. There are children who need teaching the way of the Lord. There are the sick who need visiting and encouraging. There are prisoners who need to be taught the word of God. There are families and neighbours. That's our work. If we just drift, then the evil of the days will just fill the place and it'll be darkness. But we must light a light and light another light and not let it go out, but let it grow. We must live with understanding. Now Paul then develops that, he adds to it, and he gives us this duty of living with great care. In verse 15 it says, and this is our second point, be very careful then how you live. He used the word walk, not live. He used the word walk, and that means, it does mean a way of life, but it's a picture which, it gives us something more, and that you think of somebody steadily progressing, going forward, reaching their destination, not in one day, not with one step, but they go forward steadily, progressing. Your life is like a walk. And another Bible translation uses quite a long word. It says, see that you walk circumspectly. Well, the word that Paul used is meaning correctly or accurately. That it is consistent. It is complete. Even walk perfectly. But he says, see then, or be very careful. He's teaching us the duty of watchfulness, of watching over our lives. Somebody employs a watchman to watch his compound or to watch his shop, or to watch his factory, because he's made an investment and he doesn't want to lose it. He doesn't want the thief to come and take away everything he has spent time building up. So he employs a watchman. And Paul is telling us, you must employ a watchman in your life. Of course, the watchman is you. He means take time, examine. The book of Proverbs has this advice. It says, see well the state of your flocks. Take care to see the state of your flocks and your herds. Because you know after you've spent the time feeding them, looking after them and guarding them, that you can just lose it in one night. The wolf may come and scatter them. The hyena may come. or the thief may come and take them away. If we do those things just in this life with our earthly possessions, how much more with our souls? How much more with the eternal things should we keep watch? How do people backslide? Have you known a backslider? How did it happen to them? Often, very often, it happens just poorly. It happens slowly. It happens gradually. Little by little. They went a day without watching. Then they went another day without watching. Day by day, it grew up in their souls. Some evil thing, some evil root to choke. You know, a farmer is careful to look at his crops. Is there some pest, some insect coming? Is some bird coming? An athlete is careful to listen to his body as he's training. Is there some danger of injury coming in? Is he going to just fall out of the race? He's not even going to start the race because of some injury. The owner of the business, he's careful to look at his books, to look at his figures, to see what money's coming in, what's going out, if he's going to be able to continue, if he's going to go bankrupt. He's careful. Our duty is to watch ourselves, our lives, to compare them with the law of God. How can you know if you're doing well as a Christian? Compare it day by day with the scriptures. What has God said? Do we find the same thing in your life as God has said? And that's what you have to do. And every time you find sin, you have to get rid of it. You have to fight against it. You have to take it up by the roots every time. Now, if we found that the Chinese were our enemies, if we found that they had agents in Kenya, and they're trying to overthrow the government of Kenya and to take over the country, what would we want to do? We'd want to get rid of every Chinese agent. You wouldn't say, well, let me just get rid of some of them, but these ones, I quite like them. They're nice people. I have fun with them sometimes. No, you'd say, let's get rid of all of them. Otherwise, the country is in danger. So why then? Why do Christians say, well, let me get rid of these sins, but not these ones, because these ones I like. Secretly, I enjoy what I'm doing here in my life. Sin is the agent of an enemy, an agent of the devil to bring you down. And if you get rid of these agents of the devil, but not these ones, then he's happy because he's still at work amongst you. And he's very happy because these ones, they can go and move about freely and bring you down. You're only serious about sin if you are serious about all sin. Our enemy is sin. It's sin we fight against, not just some sins, but all sin itself. We must examine ourselves. We must find time. On the Lord's Day, we especially have time. But each day, find some quiet time to look at your life. Say, am I pleasing Christ? Is Christ rejoicing because of my life today? Or is the Holy Spirit being grieved? See, the danger is that we become lazy. We don't want to make the effort. It's uncomfortable to look at your life, isn't it? We're much happier to quickly make an excuse. Say, no, I did right there because... Make an excuse, send it away. But Paul says, be very careful. Take a lot of care. Don't accept an easy answer. When you look at your life, say, why did I lose my temper yesterday? Why did I say those bad words this morning? What was I thinking about during that time? Don't take an easy answer. Be very careful. There's no harm that can come when we fight with sin in our life. Only good can come. The danger is of pride, that we make excuses for ourselves, that we refuse to admit that there's sin that has roots that need taking up. Examine yourself as one guarding, as one watching for your life, knowing that the devil, like a lion, he prowls around. He's looking how he can get in, how he can devour. watch as one guarding your life. Now in verse 16, and this is the third part, here is a particular duty, a special duty. There's that general duty of keeping watch, but there's a particular thing that's especially important as we do that. We go deeper. Verse 16, he says, making the most of every opportunity. Another Bible translation says, redeeming the time. That is, buying up the time, making sure that none of it is lost. Another Bible translation says, make the best use of all your time. Time, something we're given an amount of it, but it goes. We can't stop it going. It runs out 24 hours every day. When it is gone, it is gone. God has chosen the day you're born. God has chosen the day when you'll leave this world. And it runs out day by day. Time is what we're given. We combine it with hard work and faith in God, and we hope to see fruit. Well, time can be wasted, we do nothing with it, and there can be no fruit. Paul says that each one of us will have to give an account of himself to God. He says we will all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ is the master in the story, the parable. He goes away to a far country, but he leaves his servants with talents behind him. But one day he returns and says, give me an account, what did you do? One of the things he gave us, and he gave all of us, is time. You might say, I didn't have much of an education, or you might say, my economic situation is not strong. But he's given all of us time. You have to answer to him for it. We need a day of rest each week because of how well we're meant to have used the other 6 days. That we're tired, we need to recharge, we need to gain strength again because of how we've used the other 6 days, and it's tired us out. As I say, the word Paul uses in some Bibles, redeem, or it's improve, make the best use of. As in our translation here, making the most of. It's like you hear that there's a sale in town, that there's a shop, and they're selling all that they have very cheaply. And you want to buy it up. Make the most of this opportunity. Get to that shop and use what they've got there to improve your situation. And you'll be very earnest. You'll be very eager to do what you can. Well, Paul's saying that's what you do with time. Make sure each part of it is improved, that none of the opportunity is lost. So this is an important part of becoming holy. This is a big part of pleasing the Lord. A time waster is not a holy person. A person who just lets their time run out is an ungodly person. Now, often we joke about time. We joke about how it's often used. It's not just in Kenya. Missionaries from all over Africa say that it's across the whole place. And we make fun of it, but in the end, it's not a joke. It's a matter that Christ wants us to pay attention to so that we can please him. Understand what the Lord's will is, says verse 17. Understand what the Lord's will is. Now, how can we do this? Just a few practical points. Make sure you're using the time well now. We can't change the past. The past is gone. But how can we change the future? We change the future by changing the now. Your future is made up of all the nows that come one after the other. Have a conscience. Let your conscience speak to you about what you are doing now. Is there some benefit in it? Is it useful? Is it worth doing? Are you making the most of it? Are you making only half an effort, three quarters of an effort, or are you making the best use of this time? Now, according to your situation, according to your place, where God has put you, the limits he has placed on you, or the openings he has given you, are you using the now well? Have to make sure that each day has a plan. That you're knowing what you're doing when you get up tomorrow. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. That you have a purpose. That you can tell yourself the things you hope to achieve. But when you pray, that you can tell God the things you hope to achieve and you ask him to bless them and open the way to change them according to his will. But if the things you planned are his will, to bless them. But the farmer, he must follow his plan, mustn't he? He's got to know when's the time for planting, when's the time for watering, when's the time for harvesting. The athlete has his training program. He knows when the race is, and he knows how he's going to be ready so that he can win it. The businessman, he knows where the opportunity is opened, and he knows what he's got to get to that place to be ready to use it. Those are just the things of this life. Farming and athletics and business, just the things of this life. But people know that if they have no discipline, then they'll lose the opportunity and they won't get what they're looking for. I was told that the Kikuyu people who live around even at the edges of Nairobi, maybe they just have a very small garden. It's not big. But somebody told me they don't put flowers in those gardens. They put vegetables so that they have something to eat and something to sell. Even if the place is just small, they make the most use of it. The person who was telling me was saying, I won't mention the tribe, but he said, our people don't do that. We just say, I've got a relative in the city. He'll send me something. And they let their garden just grow with weeds and they plant nothing useful in it. Here's another thing to remember. We stop the leaks. Out here we seem to have some leaks. The water pipe seems to be leaking and there's so much water. Well, the leak is probably very, very small, but so much water ends up coming out of it. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You waste that now and then you waste it another time, you waste it another time. So much time has gone. So much of your life has passed by. Perhaps a man can reach 45 years old, but he's achieved less than his neighbour who's 35 years old because of all the leaks, all the leaks of time, and he never patched them up. He never stopped them from running out. In my country, they have a saying. They say, look after the pennies, and the pounds will take care of themselves. So it's like, look after the coins, and the banknotes will take care of themselves. There's a lot of truth in that. Every life is the adding together of 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. And eventually you have a lifetime. Make sure you always have something to do. We read of the life of Jesus in the Gospel. And he says many things, but he never says, well, let's just do nothing now. And he does many things. He's never just doing nothing. Of course, he's never doing nothing because idleness is a sin. Yes, he was tired and he sat down and he slept at night. But he disciplined his sleep. Not too much of it, so that he wasted the time. Not too little of it, so that he was unable to work the next day through tiredness, but the right amount, so that he had the strength again for the next day. Never wasting his time. Idleness is a sin. I took a moment to find all the proverbs that had the word diligence in them, or diligent. Now, this was actually in a different Bible, so I don't know how we'll do in this translation, but Let me just read you some of these proverbs. I think I gave you the reference in the notes so you can see them again at home. But Proverbs has a lot to say about laziness and about careful use of time. So here are these verses. Lazy hands make a man to be poor, but diligent hands, careful hands, bring wealth. Yeah, that's chapter 10, verse 4. Did I put it on the notes? Oh, yeah, it's down there. Good. Okay. And then chapter 12, verse 24. It says, diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor. Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slavery. Three verses later. The lazy man does not roast his game. You know, that's the animal he went out to hunt called game. The lazy man does not roast his game, but the diligent man prizes his possessions. He gets the full use out of all that he has. He wastes nothing. Okay, chapter 13, verse 4. The sluggard, that's the lazy man, he craves, he desires, but gets nothing. But the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. A great difference between the lazy man and the diligent man. They end up in a very different situation. Once you've added all their days and weeks and years together, you can tell a real difference. Chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Diligent man makes plans. He puts them into practice, and it leads to blessing and to growth. But the man who just wants to get rich quick ends up in trouble. Chapter 22, verse 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? That's translated diligent in the Bible I had at home. Do you see a man diligent in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. Now, I'm not a king, but I have a man working for me in my garden. And there's our brother here who found him. We said, please find for us a hard-working man, a man we can trust, a man who's honest. And so we went to look for such a man. And that man has a job. But if we found that he was lazy and unreliable, we sent him away. What does the proverb say? You see a man diligent in his work, he will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. Chapter 27, verse 23. This is the last one. I already mentioned this verse. It says, be sure you know, or be diligent to know, the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention. That's the one. Be diligent about your herds. Take care. The teaching of Proverbs is clear. Do you want to prosper? Well, be diligent. That means use every opportunity. Be careful. It's about self-discipline. About taking yourself in hand. Getting yourself under control. Not letting yourself run out of control. How do you use your time? It's a major, major part of godliness, of holiness. The picture of a Christian that we're given is one who's looking at his opportunities. Maybe they're small, but he's using them so that they can grow in God's time. Whatever he finds, he wants to get something out of for the good of the kingdom. He's never idle. He's never throwing away and wasting. As others in the world are falling away, yet he is going forward. Let's read those verses of Ephesians one more time so that we get them. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is.